Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Prosperity Proven. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free tape of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Jacob vowed a vow, and he said, if God will be with me, in other words, like he told me he would be, and he'll keep me in this way that I'm going, and he'll give me bread to eat and clothes to put on. Well, now you stop right there. You can see what he was thinking, can't you? He's thinking, man, I may starve out here. Right? He's on his own. He ain't got mama to look out for him no more. He ain't got daddy's money. He's out on his own. He's thinking, you know, am I going to make it? I don't even know anybody. I don't even know exactly where I'm going. Oh, but the Lord assured him and comforted him and said, I'm with you. Not only am I going to be with you and protect you, I'm going to give you all this land you're laying on. Whew. Somebody say, he's a good God. He said, if you'll do this for me, Lord, keep me in the way that I go and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. No doubt the devil had been telling him, you will never see your daddy or mama again. You will never get back home. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. He's making a commitment. I said he's making a commitment. Isn't he? You know the rest of the story? Was the Lord with him? Was he with him?
Yes.
Did he keep him?
Yes.
Did he protect him?
Yes.
Yeah. Protected him from some of the same seed he had sown.
Yeah.
Right? Deceptiveness and trickery. We'll talk more about that. But before it was all said and done, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but you've read it, I trust. You know the story. He came back with people. Whole groups and teams of people and flocks and herds. They filled the land. And when he left, he had a stick and a backpack. Wonder if he kept his commitment to God.
Yes.
Everything. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Everything you give me, I'm going to return the tenth to you. Where'd he get that? Well, he got that from his daddy, Isaac. He got that. Where'd Isaac get it? Got that from Abraham. You hear people arguing sometimes, say, well, you know, tithing, that's under the law. How many understand we ain't got to the law yet? Right? This is Genesis. We ain't got to the law yet. Right? No, tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Right? It's not a law thing. It's not a legal thing. It's an honoring God thing. It's a I know where my blessing comes from thing. It's a I know who my source is thing. It's a I'm thankful for where this came from thing. Amen. It's I'm going to put God first and support his things first thing. That's what it's always been about. But what kind of man did God know in Jacob that he was able to bless him? Well, we see two things right away. He was a man who changed, who was willing to change. And he was a man who put God first in his finances. He was a man who tithed, just like his grandfather and in all likelihood his daddy before him. Though it didn't specifically say so. It does specifically say so with Abraham and Jacob. Well, have you had enough for tonight, or can you take a little bit more? At least a little bit more, maybe. In the 30th chapter, I think this would be a better place to unhook tonight. You know the story. If you hadn't read it in a while, go back and read it tonight or tomorrow sometime. And man, this is good reading. This is better reading than any romance novel or mystery. This is good stuff here, man. And it's not fiction. It's real. And it affects you. Here's a young man out on his own, not knowing what's going to happen to him. Supernatural. God spoke to him. He got up that next morning. He's a different man. He's got more confidence. He knows something his daddy knew and his granddaddy knew. God is real. And he's in covenant with me just like he was with daddy. Just like he was with grandpa. And I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be blessed. And no doubt, as he's walking along, he's thinking about, it's going to be mine. That tree's going to be mine. Yeah. And that hill over there, that pond, whew, it's all mine. He's just a young, young man. Well, he showed up at a kinfolk's house. You remember that? Nobody remember that? He's looking for Laban. He's looking for Nahor's house. And he showed up at the well, you know. You remember all that? And he's asking about, he said, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor, in verse 5? All his folk at the well. They said, yeah, we know him. He said, well, is he doing good? They said, yeah, he's fine. And Rachel, his daughter, is coming out with the sheep. And so anyway, when she showed up, he was struck. He thought, whew, man, Rachel. And he, young man, he's going to show off and try to distinguish himself. And he went and opened up the well single-handedly. When normally they had to wait for everybody to show up and move the rock. Well, he kind of showed off and he got that rock out of the way. And he said, here, Miss Rachel, you don't have to wait. Now, you go ahead and water your sheep right now. Let me help you. And he was very helpful that day. And he kissed Rachel. Now, this is not a, you know, kiss like you might think. I mean, this is a greeting kiss. He probably put a little extra into it, though. And told her who he was, you know, and that they were actually related. And when it, you know, came about, you know, they brought him home and they told the whole story. And eventually Laban said, well, you know, you got to stay with me. And he said, you know, it's not right for you to work for free. So he's going to pay. And he said, after a while, he said, you know, Jacob couldn't get Rachel off his mind. And so he asked for her hand in marriage and they agreed to it. He said, sure, but you got to work with me. You got to work for me for a year. At the end of the year, Jacob showed up. Don't you know he's been thinking about it? You know, his girl for a year now. And he said, hey, the year is up, man. I mean, I'm ready to be married. And he said, great, great. They had a big party and I was supposed to introduce the bride at the tent, you know, after the ceremony. And they brought the wrong woman to the tent. And the next morning, he woke up, and it was the wrong girl. Leah, that must have been some party, don't you think? Wow. You would think, you know, you'd notice that this was the wrong girl. But it was, I mean, the Bible's straight. It don't hide all this stuff. It just tells it like it is. And so anyway, he came, and he was, oh, he was so insulted. Now, let's stop about it. He just got duped. Big time. Boy, you reap what you sow. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Trickers get tricked. Yeah. Cheaters get cheated. Yeah. Liars get lied to. Yeah. Did you hear me? Yeah. It's just a fact. He tricked his daddy. That's a big deal. His father-in-law tricked him with the wrong woman. That's a big deal. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But he sowed it, didn't he? Yeah. He sowed deception and he reaped deception. And it didn't end there. But he served another year and he got to finally marry the right woman that he intended to. Said a year, didn't it? Thank you. 7 years. Excuse me. 7 years. And then he served another 7 years. Right? 14 years. Excuse me for that. I know better than that. But then, these 14 years, he's working. Everybody say working.
Working.
What other kind of man did God know? This was rough work. If you read through this whole passage, you'll see that, you know, Laban talks about any of, you know, he and Jacob had discussions about the flocks and herds, and he tells him, he said, I was with them in the cold and the heat. I watched over them at night to see that the wolf didn't get them and the lion didn't get them. This is rough work. It is all day and all night and in the elements and in danger. You can't be lazy and be fully blessed. You can't be afraid to be inconvenienced. And comfort can't be the most important thing in your life. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It can't be. You know, sometimes people talk about us. They say, oh, Brother Keith, you know, you travel with Brother Hagin and y'all live in a nice place and you got a nice church now and boy, y'all got it made. I'm not going to disagree with them. You got that right. Say it again. Brother Keith's got it made. Yes, he does. He and Phyllis got it made. But there's a whole lot people hadn't seen behind the scenes. I mean, you know, in order to do certain things, I don't know at the times that you're up before daylight and the cold and you're having to deal with the elements and you're having to deal with this and that and prep things and get things ready. And people think, well, you just probably lay around and goof off all the time. Well, you can't. If you want things to be right, you can't. And if you ever get that way, you're going to start slipping backwards. Mm-hmm. Don't care how blessed you get. There's a time. Just on this flight training stuff, I was at a place a while back, you know, and I'm having to get up before daylight and it's cold and I'm tired and I'm thinking, boy, you know, do I want to do all this? And you're mentally, boy, you're just taxed and loaded to the hilt. Why am I doing this? Well, so I can preach to two or three times as many people in 1 week personally. Did you hear me? With this kind of equipment. And I'm in control. And I don't leave all these holes. See, we did this for years on the airlines. And that's fine. I'm not knocking that. But friends, there are so many other holes for the enemy to hinder you.
Amen.
Did you hear me? So many other ways and got so many other people involved, so much other people's equipment. You're not in control. You're not in charge. There's so much stuff. The enemy can throw wrenches and hindrances and knock you out of stuff. But when we can be in control, we can make preparations ahead of time. I can be led by the Spirit. I can do a different thing and not miss it. Be there on time. Get the job done. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you got to be faithful where God puts you. You know, maybe somebody says, well, I got a call to be a prophet on my life. I got a call to be an apostle on my life. I got a call to be a pastor. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But that doesn't mean you start there.
Right.
Did you hear me? You don't start out at your ultimate call. Nobody does. Just because you're called to do something doesn't mean you're able to stand in that place right now. It takes training.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled The God of Jacob, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R-416. That's R-416, and the tape will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry and an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at www.morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.